Surprise! Yep, I've got a very special bonus edition of Happy Place for you on this bank holiday. Technically, yes, the series has ended and we were going to hold on to this for a while longer, but you wanted more and it seemed rude not to, so why not? And it's with my lovely friend Emma Willis, a person who I have so much time for.
I always think something's only going to last for 5 minutes, so enjoy it while it's happening because it will be over before you know it.
Now, in return for this surprise, I do have a little tiny favour to ask. If you wouldn't mind, please take a moment and vote for us in the British Podcast Awards. If you've got something from listening, there's no better way to tell us than to go to britishpodcastawards.com/vote and choose Happy Place. That would make my day. It takes just 2 minutes, so go on, do it now. Just pause this podcast and go to britishpodcastawards.com/vote. Thank you so much.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
And now, here's your special bonus show. You've earned it. Bit nervous slash worried about today's episode. It's one that I've been just mulling over and thinking about a lot. Today's subject matter is going to be beauty, which can be quite a bizarre and loaded topic to kind of cover. I take the things I want it to be and what I don't want it to be. So let's start with the don'ts. I don't want this to be kind of frivolous, skin-deep chat about lipstick and blusher. You know, I can't stand here and pretend that I don't love those things, that they don't play a part in my life. But, you know, maybe that will feature a bit. But what I really want to focus on is sort of inner beauty, confidence, how much you let that affect your overall life, and also how beauty has changed over the years for women more specifically, because it really has. We can't ignore the fact that social media has somehow moulded a different image and ideal of beauty, and I've just got the perfect person to talk to this about. This is the good bit. This is the bit that's not worrying me at all. My guest today is a great friend of mine. Not only is she the most brilliant broadcaster and TV host out there, she's also stunningly beautiful, but has a very grounded, level-headed and pragmatic approach to what beauty means to her. It is the delightful Emma Willis. When you were growing up, did you feel beautiful?
No. I had like kind of little mousy rat's tail ringlets for hair.
Did you?
And
I see a picture of that.
I was mousy and I was really quiet and shy, not kind of wanting to be the centre of attention like now. not overly confident. Well, not confident at all, really. I was just kind of a little kid that just plodded along. I was never the one that boys fancied. I was just like...
Did you have the awkward teen years then? Because I had like the train track braces. I had permed hair with a straight fringe, which was an excellent look, which I think we should bring back. And I wore heinous clothing. And I can't imagine you being that teenager.
No, I was. You had a perm with a straight fringe. I had a perm with a permed fringe. And blonde highlights.
The 80s were so harsh,
yeah,
and the 90s.
They really were. When I started playing makeup, I used to have brown eyeshadow, just the same colour that went from the lash line to the eyebrow. And I thought I looked like the shit.
Mm.
But I actually just looked like shit.
Mm.
Clothing-wise, if I wore now what I wore then, I would be at the height of fashion.
Yeah.
Because it was shell suits galore.
Totally. When I did Top of the Pops at Christmas, I was looking on the stages and I was like, I had that. I had those buffalo boots.
Yeah.
I had that crop top.
But and it's they weren't back. Cool back then.
What's your earliest beauty memory? Like, so for instance, mine is probably my dear late Nan Sylvia gassing her bedroom out with Elnett hairspray. Like, that smell now just evokes such a memory and a time for me. Mm. And I think from sort of watching her sort of curl her hair and put her lipstick on, and my other nan, Ruby, actually, as well, doing the nails, they're all sort of real impactful moments for me as a young girl, sort of seeing, oh, there's this sort of transformation that can take place if you want it to.
I think probably I've got an older sister, so I kind of watched her do a lot. And my mum, she always wore lots of mascara.
Mine does now.
Yeah, and picked it off.
Ooh.
And that's something I still do.
Really?
I don't remove with makeup.
No.
I pick.
What?
I love
you've done
it.
Big Brother, you're on the way home and you're picking
yeah.
off your makeup.
Yeah, I rip my eyelashes off and I put them down and then I just, I mean, I don't pick my skin off.
Yeah,
I wipe
sure.
that off.
Okay, but just the mascara.
But the mascara.
You pull off.
I ball it. It's so satisfying.
Never tried that.
And watching my sister, she kind of, funnily enough, the hair that I've got now, but
really?
She was very kind of the moment of Duran Duran. So she had full flock of seagulls with a rat's tail down the back. And I remember kind of watching her kind of do it and just going, oh, my God, she's the coolest chick I've ever seen in my life. And because she loved John Taylor, I loved John Taylor. Like, it was very much like that.
Yeah.
But I had long hair and she, considering I've got like naturally curly hair, obviously, I don't like it, so I straighten it to within an inch of its life. Do you remember bendy rollers?
Yes.
So
amazing.
She was like, I am going to make you look like Kylie Minogue.
Oh, that was the actual dream back
right.
then.
Which is why I eventually got a perm because of
with that Kyle's. Hat and the hole in the top
yeah,
where the
yeah,
hair
yeah,
came
totally.
Out.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and the blonde highlights because
yes.
she had blonde hair. Before that, she was like, I'm going to just transform you. And I must only have been about 11 or something. Maybe 12, and she bendy rolled my hair, and I was so excited. And then she took it out, and I looked in the mirror, and I have been traumatized ever since.
Wow.
I mean, I cried for a very long time because I thought, I mean, I looked ridiculous. And I thought it was never gonna, I thought I was stuck with it.
Mm.
Obviously, it washes out, but I didn't know that.
You were scarred for life after
like,
that. What age did you bloom or have that moment where people started going, you're such a beautiful girl, and why don't you try modelling? Come over here and join our agency.
I was 17. It was actually a friend of my mum's that said, she should be a model. And if I showed you, Fern, the picture that I sent off to the modelling agency.
You're going to have to email it through now so we can put it out
oh
as part of this podcast.
Oh, my God. Again, I had similar hair to what I have now, but it was the same length and with the same little bits of blonde. There's a theme of highlights through my
life. It really
life.
Is.
But I used to scrunch it. So it was curly on top.
With the diffuser?
With,
was that
with
ever
the
involved?
Diffuser. Yeah. Oh, 100%. Mm-hmm. And I was wearing a bright red shirt and I had bright red lipstick and I had this like kind of chubby, round 16-year-old face.
Cute.
Very pale, little tiny eyes, no eyebrows, no mascara. How I got that phone call, I will never quite know.
So at 17, you started modelling.
Yeah.
And you did that for how
Ten
long
years.
Before you started presenting? 10 years. So that's a long period of time to be solely judged on your looks
yeah.
professionally. You're getting yeses or nos purely based on what you look like. How
yeah.
did you handle that?
I think in the beginning, really, I couldn't quite believe it was happening. So I was like, you can tell me no every day if you want. I'm just enjoying it. And then you kind of, you know, I always think something's only going to last for 5 minutes, so enjoy it while it's happening because it will be over before you know it.
Yeah.
So I was very much like that then. And then it kind of carried on happening and I was like, okay, maybe this is an actual job for me. And then, you know, kind of 3 years down the line, you're like, oh right, okay, I actually live in London, this is my full-time job, I'm a model. Like, how does that happen to somebody like me? Do you know what I mean? You just kind of don't expect your life to happen like that. And then you kind of go, well, if this is my job, I kind of have to start thinking probably about how I look. 3 years later, I'm like, what? Oh, I twig now. Okay. And I started kind of looking after myself, I suppose. But I think I've always been quite level-headed. And because I'm, I suppose, a bit of a glass half empty type girl, or a realist, as I like to
yeah.
say,
mm-hmm.
I suppose that I've kind of taken being judged like that okay, because, yeah, I might be right for some people, but I'm going to be wrong for some people as well. So, you know, you can't please everybody all of the
time.
But
that's such a wonderful attitude to just, you naturally have that attitude about a lot of things in life. And I think that's brilliant and what's allowed you to have such longevity in both modelling and presenting. Because I think I'm probably a bit too sensitive and go, not that I've ever been judged for my looks, but, oh, God, they don't like me. The world is ending. You know, like, really don't know how to process that sometimes because I want everyone to like what I'm doing. And
I think we're quite similar creatures in the fact that I want people to like me because I think I'm a nice person.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you want people to like you because you are a bloody nice person. Mm. So I kind of get that when we're not people who are like, we're just going to say what we think and I don't care what you think tell you the truth.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, but consider people's feelings. Absolutely. Like the whole train, I just can't get on.
But in the fashion industry, people don't think like that. People are very cutthroat and very, next go. And that must feel painful at times.
There were a couple of times. I remember being told that I had to lose weight. And it was quite early on. I was about 18 and I'd gone to Australia, which was amazing. Again, I was a bit like, oh.
Wow, yeah.
I'm in Australia, AJ. This is quite nice. My rational head was kind of going, oh God, I need to lose weight. But I was living with a chef. And it was very difficult. And I just kind of thought, you know what? I just can't be bothered.
Oh, but I love that
so
was your attitude.
So I just kind of carried on eating. I had a nice time and then I went home. And I think obviously there were times when it would get to me, but there's nothing that's really stayed in my brain where it obviously affected me so much that it caused an issue for me. Obviously, we want people to like us because we think we're nice people, right? Mm. But doing what we do, you're judged on who you are as a human being and your personality. Mm. So you're being you when you host shows, and I'm being me when I host shows. So if people take to social media and go, well, we think you're a dick, it's just like,
oh, that's horrible.
Oh my God. But if you're a model, it's based on personal preference of a look. Yeah. And it took me a while doing this to be okay with people going, well, actually, I think I don't really like you or what you do. Mm. You know, as she said, it's such a personal thing because you are being you. You're not being an actress and putting being a character that someone's like, I don't like that character. You are being who you are and being judged for it.
So to feel that robustness, I guess, really, in those situations from a very young age, do you put that down to just the essence of who you are or your upbringing?
I put it down a lot to my upbringing. My parents, again, are quite realists. I use that word a lot, realistic human beings. And, you know, kind of enjoy yourself and do what you can. But remember, one day it will end and it won't last forever. So I think I've always had that mentality and I've always kind of had the can't quite believe my luck aspect of where my life has gone. So I'm ready at any point that it will end. And I've never really planned what I was going to do. It's just ended up happening. And I think maybe that's why I've always thought it won't last forever or I probably won't do it for very long because I never expected it to happen.
I think it's a healthy way to be because also then you remain quite open to other opportunities and things that are going to spring up that you hadn't planned. And also you're not resting on your laurels going, well, I've got this sorted. I'm just going to coast now. You know, you're kind of, you're in the moment more enjoying it. And that's
but
really
I think
gorgeous.
I do panic though. I do kind of panic. Yeah, I do. Never planned anything. So when it does end, well, what do I do then? Because I haven't planned that either.
No, I'm exactly the same. Winging it every single day of my life.
That whole
totally
imposter
it.
Syndrome is like a real,
don't even
very
get me started
real
on that.
Thing.
Even after 21 years, imposter syndrome is present, omnipresent.
And it's bonkers, isn't it?
I know.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Can you think of specific moments when you felt really beautiful? Because they're often moments that are quite unobvious, really. Like for me personally, and it feels almost cringy to say, but I'm quite happy admitting this. The day after I gave birth, both times, I looked in the mirror and I thought,
I look bloody amazing. And I never, ever think that. Honestly, I hate every picture of myself. Sometimes I can't bear to look at myself in the mirror. The day after I gave birth, whether it was the oxytocin or whatever hormones were flying around me, I had greasy hair, chapped lips, loads of water retention. But I thought, I feel great. I feel beautiful. I'm looking in the mirror. I'm happy with what I see. And that will be one of my best beauty memories ever, more so than on my wedding day, than when I've been in makeup for 4 hours. That, and I hadn't, you know, a scrap of makeup on. I was just sort of like the rawest raw that I could be, but I felt beautiful. Have you got any moments like that?
When you asked me that question, the first thing that sprung to my mind was a picture I saw of myself the day I gave birth.
Really?
I swear to you, yeah.
Isn't that funny?
And I kind of filtered through my head and I was like, how about my wedding day? I kind of felt beautiful on the inside because it was a beautiful day.
Yeah.
But when I look back at the pictures, I'm like, I didn't have any eyebrows. I had a spot in the middle of my forehead. Like, but there's a picture, the day I, like literally hours after Isabel had come into the world. Mm. And I remember looking at it going, fuck, they're pretty nice considering I've just been through like pretty much,
but not,
you know,
even
18
considering
hours of labour.
Yeah.
Maybe it's drugs.
Yeah. I've had so much gas in there.
Maybe,
I look amazing.
Maybe it's just an illusion in your eyeballs. There's a natural filter.
Even if it is, I'm sticking with that memory because it's a really good
no.
one. So how much of your own beauty do you feel is down to the work you put in, the fact that you might go and have makeup done before a show, versus how you feel mentally and how your well-being is?
I think a lot of it comes down to how you feel inside and your well-being. If you've got stuff going on or you're feeling really unbalanced within yourself, you can, as you said, go into work and have 3 hours of makeup and you can still look in the mirror and not be happy. Mm. Even though, you know, what is looking back at you is a face that's had lots of time spent on it to look its best, but inside they're not matching, are they?
No, isn't that funny? Like, are there moments where we might be watching you on TV and you look absolutely ridiculously gorgeous, but actually inside you're thinking, God, I feel rough and I look rough?
Totally.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it happens all the time, doesn't it? Like, it's whether you're on TV or not on TV, whether you've got a face full of makeup or no makeup, you know, I can, if everything is feeling kind of balanced at home and I feel like the balls are being juggled and I'm keeping them up in the air and everything seems to be going well and the washing's been done and I've done the grocery shopping and I've been to work, the kids are all fed and they've got the right uniform.
Yeah, just a few on that checklist.
One of those days, yeah, when everything is working, I can get out of bed, look like shit, but I can look in the mirror and I haven't been to the gym for a month, I can look in the mirror and go, it's all right today.
Yeah,
I feel all right about myself because mentally I'm feeling stable. But the minute you drop a couple of those balls or even one of them, you know, you could have been training every single day, having facials every single week, which never happens, but you know, in my parallel universe,
yeah.
And you can still look in the mirror and go, I hate myself.
Mm.
Not hate myself, but I just don't like what's looking back.
Yeah.
And no matter how much your partner goes, what are you talking about? You look incredible. It doesn't matter. And I mean, I love the fact that Matt will say that, but I have to go, that's what you think.
Yeah.
And that's lovely that you think it, but I need to think that and I don't.
Isn't
Do you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, because Jess, if I put my hair back, so basically you'll never see me with my hair back ever.
Why?
Because I've got a massive forehead, Emma.
Stop it.
No, no.
We talked the other day about short hair and I was like, lob it off.
I would, but I couldn't do what you've done and have a quiff back because my forehead is it's wide. Not necessarily, it's a bit long, but it's wide. And when I have it up in a bun, I do it at home the whole time. I have a mum bun permanently.
I know, I see it. But you're
out
on
and about,
social media with it and you look amazing.
Because I'll take a picture that isn't too distressing for me to look back at. But if someone was to knock on the door, I'd be ripping that mum bun out before you could say mum bun.
Pop like, it up now, let's have a
no. look. And I will have my hair up and Jessie goes, oh, I love you with your hair like that. And I'm like, I look like an egg. But like you say, your husband sees a beauty that is eluding us.
But also, I'm not your husband. I'm just your friend. And I don't know what you're talking about.
No,
but it's what's
it's
within.
I feel naked.
It's how
if I do
you
that,
feel
I might
within.
Take my pants off. Like, honestly, there is no that's how I would feel, completely naked. So in your real life, because this is sort of like a worky day for me. So I've put a bit of mascara on. I've done my eyebrows. But on a home day, I don't go anywhere near my makeup bag. Do you?
No.
No.
Nothing.
Heaven.
So today I've just got mascara on. Because otherwise I look like I haven't got any eyeballs.
Just a little helping hand
for the
morning.
I picked it off last night.
Yeah.
And I reapplied this morning.
Yeah, that's nice.
A bit of moisturiser, bit of mascara, and that's it. I tint my eyebrows now because I can't be bothered to draw them in.
That's a good idea. I might have to copy that.
Tinting.
My mum often has a real go at me when she turns up and I have no makeup on because I think maybe it's a generational thing, but she is all about the makeup and the glam, and I've never seen her without makeup on.
She's
ever.
Very glamorous, your mum, though.
She's very glamorous, but that is the sort of thing that defines her, whereas I feel like, if anything, not wearing it makes me feel who I am and defines me.
Yeah.
When I've got it on, and if I have to do a telly thing, I feel a little bit removed from who I really am. I'm like, this is sort of a version of me, but I would never really do all this to my hair and have all this sort of stuff going on. And maybe it's a weird armour that does sort of help protect you when you're in that slightly bizarre situation of having to do a TV show. But at home, bun, no makeup. If I'm feeling fruity, no bra.
I love that you can do that.
Mm.
Mine just go to my belly button. I feel like, oh no, I can't do that.
How do you think our perception of beauty has changed because of social media? Because we're very used to seeing things now that we weren't 10 years ago. Contouring, very sort of strange selfies that look almost sort of...
Alien-like.
Peculiar.
I mean, I look like one anyway, apparently, so I don't go...
You're right.
I don't go for that.
But it's strange that we've become more aware of that sort of imagery and it's become normalised. Whereas 10 years ago, we'd go, God, that's a... It's like something out of a magazine, whereas now that's sort of the norm.
Yeah, I think that's what I do, though. When I go on social media now, if I'm on Instagram, I look at a picture and rather than going, oh, that looks amazing, I go, right.
What have they done there?
And I'm like, how many filters are on that?
Mm-hmm.
Any stretching going on? and again, you know, I'm picking apart a picture, not believing that it's genuine or real.
Yeah.
Because so much can be done now. Do you know what I mean? I'm a real supporter of let's not retouch. Let's not, you know, I know everything gets retouched and I don't want to look tired in a picture either if it's going on the front of a magazine. But I remember just after I had Ace and I had to do, I was doing the cover of a magazine for a photo shoot and I don't know, now I look back, I'm like, what? How did I say yes to that? But it was 6 weeks after I'd given birth and I had a top hat on and just braces and trousers, but like everything was covered, but my tummy was out. And they were like, thank you so much for doing it. It's like, you know, it's a really good kind of message. And I went, it is, but you can't retouch my tummy. And they were like, oh, okay. Are you sure you're happy with that? And I'm like, yes. Why would I want you to retouch me looking like I haven't had a baby six weeks after I've had a baby? And they were like, that's just a breath of fresh air. Brilliant. Thank you.
Oh.
And I'm like, do you know, it's just little things like that.
It's so
you
important, know, like, though. It's so important.
Keep those little lines around your eyes.
It's so, you know, I'm all
it's
for
what
that.
We look like in I'm real life. For,
yeah, I've had my tattoos airbrushed off without me saying yes. And it's like, I don't care if you hate them. I like them.
I have the gaps in my hair filled in. I'm like... No, leave it. I don't want to have helmet hair. I want to have my hair.
Isn't it funny?
Yeah.
But that's because...
But again, it's other people's perception of how you should
look.
Yeah. I've also had people ask me to put extensions in my hair for photo shoots.
Wow.
To make it look a little more feminine.
Yeah, no, that's not me.
I'm
I don't
like,
have that hair.
But I have short hair.
Mm.
And you want me to have long hair when I don't have long hair.
Mm.
Like...
Do you want to get someone else?
Why
who's
are you
got long
trying
hair?
To mould me into something that is not me?
Mm. Well, that was a joy. And
thanks.
I think we waffled on about many subjects there that I think people will really enjoy hearing. So thank you for your honesty and
you make any sense
your time and your energy. So much sense. It was lovely.
Thanks, Fern.
Thank you, lovely Emma. I could have sat and chatted all day. I adore you, you funny, brilliant, gorgeous creature. What a woman. So look, that's it. We are actually taking a break now. While we're away, I thought I might take a moment to mention some of the other podcasts I like to get you through the next few weeks. Oh, Desert Island Discs is up there. You know, do I need to even sell it to you? No, it's music and amazing people telling their life story. Heaven. Also, my mate Russell Brand's Under the Skin. Oh, it's just so clever that it actually makes my brain hurt, but so many interesting topics covered. And a third that I've heard great things about and is next on my list is Griefcast by Cariad Lloyd, which is comedians talking really openly about the people they've lost, but in a really lovely way. Now, until we return, a huge thanks to Emma, to the producers Matt Hill and Lucy Dearlove at Rethink Audio, and of course to you beauts for listening. I love you. Don't forget to vote, britishpodcastawards.com/vote. I'll see you soon.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.